Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. I invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And before we read, a reminder again, if you haven't read through all the Christmas narratives, be sure and do it several times and take your family and encourage them to do the very same thing. Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Verses 1 through 23, all of Matthew chapter 2. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the powerful story of the Magi coming to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship him and to bring him gifts. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Joseph and Mary, their bravery, their commitment to trust you, even in times of difficulty. Thank you for the stories of how they learned to listen to you and follow your guidance as well. Lord, help us to learn much and to grow an understanding of the need for us to be a people that will learn from the wisdom of the witnesses of the Christmas story and walk in the same wisdom they walked in as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you, we want to encourage you to go to our Facebook page as well as our website, too. Remember, our website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And there, go there and please subscribe. Also, you'll find a number of articles there. Also, some interesting questions and other issues on there that will bless and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Also want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and for Android devices as well. All you have to do is go to your app store and search Urban Family Talk, and that way you can take Urban with you wherever you go. You know, obviously you can listen by way of stations if you're in within listening range of our stations. But if not, again, you can take the app with you and listen to Urban all over the world. Hope you'll take time to do that. So again, the free mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices are available. I'd like to remind you to please go to our Facebook page. In fact, two different ones, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live as well. We invite you to go and like our pages as well. And again, we appreciate you listening and being a part of our listening family, and hope that as you listen, that you're really growing in your walk with the Lord. Because amongst other things, one of our goals is that you will be equipped, you'll be better equipped as a disciple to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll grow in your understanding of the need to make prayer a vital part of your life and your lifestyle, that you'll become a greater and more effective prayer warrior, and also you'll walk more and more into the perfect will of God and fulfill the call of God upon your life. Understand this, your prayer life is vital to everything. So hope that you're growing in your understanding of the need to make prayer a vital part of everything you do and every part of your life. Lord, thank you again for every single listener, every person that's tuning in by whatever means they're tuning in today. And Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much that will happen, so much good as we learn to walk with you in prayer each and every day. Guide us to be faithful to pray as individual men and women. Help us to be faithful to pray as husbands, as wives, as dads, as moms, as grandfathers and grandmothers, and as children and grandchildren, as brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and cousins. Lord, help us to know that we need to seek you in our prayer lives, but also we must pray much for others as well. Help us to never live a life where we're very, very selfish, where we only pray for ourselves and our own concerns. Help us to know, Lord, that there's great blessing that we can spread all over the place as we learn to pray significantly for our loved ones and for co-workers and for fellow classmates and praying for others. Help us to know, Lord, that our prayer life is a gift whereby we can bless any and everyone and the whole world every single day of our lives. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to pray. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And today we're simply calling our topic for the day, Christmas Joy. And I want you to keep this in mind. You know, if you've been listening during Advent season, during the Christmas season, I've been emphasizing this, and of course I have in mind to keep emphasizing the importance of taking time to read through the Christmas narratives. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now, why do I keep saying that over and over and over again? Well, because some of you haven't done it. Some of you have been listening, and you may say you're tired of hearing me say it, but you haven't done it. Please do it. Why? Because amongst other things, it will stir joy in your life. And you might say, how do I know that? Well, because the Bible is a book of joy. And when you read the Word of God, amongst other things, it pours joy and grace and peace into your mind and your heart. And it's also when you're reading the Word of God, remember this. You're spending time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. God is speaking directly to you. And remember, when you read the Word of God, you're not just listening. You're just not reading and listening. God is pouring grace, joy, peace, power, and encouragement into your mind, your heart, and your life. Don't ever think you're just reading words on a page, because again, it's a whole lot more than that. So one of the most valuable things you will do today is read your Bible, because it's a time of communing with God. It's a time of spending time in the presence of God. So when you read God's word, it will bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. That's why it's, again, I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day. But now, if you decide, well, I want more than that, well, wonderful. There's no such thing as overeating the Word of God. You know, often people compare the reading of God's Word to feeding your body. That's a good comparison up to a point. Now, for example, when you eat a meal, you're hungry and you eat a meal and you feel satisfied, then you decide, I'm going back for seconds. Well, that may be okay, but when you go back for thirds and fourths and fifths, after a while, you're going to hurt yourself, okay? At a certain point in time, you're going to be hurting badly if you keep eating, because your body can only contain so much. No such thing when it comes to God's Word. If you keep feeding your spirit the Word of God, it increases your joy level, it increases your peace, it increases your encouragement. So one of the most fruitful and valuable things you can do on any given day is spend time reading the Word of God. Now, one of the reasons why I really encourage reading through the Christmas narratives during the Christmas season is because often people say, well, I know the story already. Well, I'm going to tell you, no, you don't. You think you do, but you don't really know the story. You think you know the story. But the more you read it, the more you find out, you will discover new things about Christmas that you didn't know. But also there are additional treasures you'll find in the Christmas story as you keep digging and listening. So just as we read the passage of Matthew chapter 2, there's so much in that passage that will bless us and encourage us. And amongst other things, there are many messages in Matthew chapter 2 to Christian men. And there's a great need for us as men to really pay heed. Amongst other things, the wise men, when they came seeking the Christ child. They came seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They came a long way. Now, remember, they were Persian men, and they came to Jerusalem looking for Christ. They came a long way to worship him and to bring him gifts. And some of the very important lessons we can draw from that is worship is very, very important. Just spending time thanking and praising and worshiping God. Now, the fact is, for many people, they think, well, I've got plenty much more important things to do than spend time worshiping and thanking the Lord. Well, actually, you really don't. The fact is, worshiping and praising God is very, very important because it draws you closer to God, but also it helps you recognize the goodness of God. We live in a world with lots and lots of ungrateful people that don't acknowledge God in so many ways, and that's part of our problem. When we don't acknowledge God, we don't recognize the hand of God and the grace of God working in our lives, we miss out on life. There are many blessings we miss out on, but also we miss his guidance. We miss his direction. We miss his blessings when we don't acknowledge God and seek God. The wise men were wise enough to seek God. And as they were seeking God, God let them know that star, that beautiful star in the sky, is pointing you to the Messiah. Go find him and worship him. And they did just that. But keep in mind, there were lots of other people, lots of Jews, who didn't know what the star meant and didn't get up and follow the wise men when they came and told them about the star. What a tragedy. The whole city should have said, we're going to follow you and we're going to find the Christ and we're going to worship him too. But it doesn't indicate that anyone followed the wise men. But they did continue on their journey. God continued to guide them by the star. They went to Bethlehem, found the Christ child, worshiped him, brought him gifts, and to this day, the lives of the wise men are still pointing people to Jesus Christ. Do you live a life where your life points people to Jesus Christ? Do you understand this? That's not a side note. Our lives are to be full of ways whereby we point people to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because life is about knowing Jesus and living for him, period. The purpose of life is to know Jesus Christ and to live for him and help point as many people to him as we can in our lifetime. And you know what? All these other things are frills. All these other things are extras in life. But keep in mind, when people die and leave this world, all the money they earn, all the cars they drove, all the houses they, all the stuff they earned, all the things they had, none of that matters. The only thing that matters after they die and leave this world, did you know Jesus? So this one of the messages of the Christmas story is God wanted the world to know, I've sent the answer to all the world's problems, and his name is Jesus. Come and find him and start living for him. The wise men got it. As we look in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds got it. They packed up and came and found the Christ child as well. Also, Mary and Joseph, obviously they were serving the Lord and they were willing to be the parents of the Messiah. And so you find Simeon and Anna as well in Luke chapter 2. They too, they got it. They understood their lives were to point people to Jesus. All of us, our life is to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Lord, thank you for the chance to be vessels that you can use to point people to Christ every day of our lives. Help us to know that's our purpose and to walk it out. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our topic today is Christmas joy. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgence that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com. This new season I'm in, I have the awesome privilege of speaking to teens about abstinence. One day we got on abortion, and I explained to the group of girls it's murder and how every child is a gift from God. I had a few girls to come up with every excuse why it's okay to abort. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He will lead you with just the right thing to say. I emphasized to the girls on counseling with a Christian advisor and the option of adoption. After class, many of the girls were interacting with me about various things that were discussed that day. One quiet girl summoned me over and whispered in my ear, "I was adopted." Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Those who confess Jesus as Lord have been adopted into the kingdom of God. For a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
For unto us a child is born,
unto us a son is given, unto us born,
unto us a child is born,
unto us a son is given,
unto a son is given.
For unto us a child is born, he shall
X.
music of BB's and CC Winans, the song For Unto Us a Child Is Born. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today, our topic for today is Christmas joy. And I want to remind you that if you really do want to increase your joy in the Christmas season, spend more time reading and meditating on the Word of God. Now, let me say this to every single listener. What we're encouraging you to do as in the reading of the Christmas narratives, and not only reading them yourselves, but encouraging others to do, I want you to keep in mind, this is extremely important. Now, some may think, oh, it's a nice thing to do during the Christmas season if you get around to it. It's okay, good, and fine. No, it's very important. You know why? Because remember this, the real meaning of Christmas comes from the heart of God. The Word of God is His heart. And when you read the Word of God, you're hearing God's heart, and you're hearing directly from Him. So many people, including believers, just don't spend much time in the Word of God, and they don't realize they're missing out on so much. Because remember, when you're reading the Word of God, God is pouring grace, peace, power, joy, and light into your mind, your heart. You need that. I need that. We all need that. So please be sure and make it your goal to do just that. Read through the Christmas narrative several times and encourage others to do it. For those of you that are parents that have small children, be sure and help your children read through them too. Because children have wonderful questions, and they're going to ask you questions and make comments, wonderful commentary, on the Christmas story. Some children are so caught up in doing all the Christmas shopping and all the other Christmas things, well, tragically, no one helps them get around to reading the Christmas stories, and the children miss out. Help your young children to read through them, and it will bless them greatly. One of the things, interesting thing about the Matthew chapter 2, of course you see Joseph. Notice this in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. God speaks to Joseph four times, and each time he speaks to him, it's through a dream. Three times, the first three dreams, he speaks through an angel in the dream. In the last dream, it doesn't mention an angel. But God speaks each time to Joseph through dreams. Also, something interesting to note, too, about Joseph is that Joseph is a unique character in all of the Word of God. He's the legal dad of the Messiah. He's obviously not the biological father, but he's the legal father of the Messiah in the world. Notice, too, Joseph has something interesting in common with the other Josephs in the Bible. Joseph in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, God deals with him uniquely through dreams. Well, notice he has something in common with the Joseph of the book of Genesis as well. Both Josephs, God deals with them uniquely through dreams and gives them insight and wisdom through their dreams. Also, both of those Josephs, their dads were named Jacob. Also, Joseph in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 has something in common with Joseph of Arimathea near the end of the Gospels, because Joseph in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, he and Mary were there when Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes at his birth. Joseph of Arimathea was there after Jesus died on the cross, and he was there to wrap him in burial clothes after his death. So both Josephs function sort of as bookends to the life of Christ in his earthly ministry. Just an interesting little tidbit of information, but the Josephs in the Bible each perform a unique function, and their lives, all of their lives, point people to Jesus Christ. So an interesting thing to note as well. Also, an important truth about Joseph, too, is that he functions as a faithful follower of Christ and a faithful husband and a faithful father. What does he do as a faithful father? Number one, he listens to his family. He listens to God on behalf of his family. Notice when he hears from God, he packs up and moves his family wherever God directs him to. Why? Simply by following God. And real godly men will listen to God, obviously, not just for themselves, but on behalf of their marriages and their families as well. That's what a man's supposed to do. He's supposed to hear from God for the good of himself and for the good of his family as well. That's what Joseph did. He was a guide. He was a protector as well. Real men are to be protectors as well. So all of these are parts about the importance of being real men that honor God in this guard in this way as well. Now, Luke chapter 1 is a powerful chapter with many powerful insights about the Christmas story, but I want to share some unique things that relate to the fact that Christmas and pregnancy and life are all tied together. You know, the whole wonderful reality of when women are carrying a baby, there's some powerful truths as it relates to the Christmas story found within the Christmas story about pregnancy. And it's specifically interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Again, Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Specifically pregnancy, and especially pregnancy in a time of difficulty or time of challenge, is an important part of the Christmas story as well. It has a precious and heartwarming tie to Christmas. Now, you may say, how is that true? Well, again, it's pretty obvious. Again, you have not just one, but two women who are expecting babies through unique circumstances. Again, both Mary and Elizabeth find themselves pregnant in unusual circumstances. Two moms meet and come together, and they worship the Lord and fellowship with each other in Luke chapter 1. One is a teenage mother who is miraculously conceived through a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grandmom or a great-grandmom. In other words, Elizabeth probably had been on Social Security a few years when she first found herself pregnant for the first time in her life. Yet she was an expecting mom as well. The two of them marry a teenage mom and an older grandmom coming together, both of them expecting, and they spend time probably sharing things, truths, and insights and understanding that only pregnant women would understand. Now, notice in Luke chapter 1, you find a number of unique, interesting things that are pointed out that either a doctor or expecting moms might would be aware of. For example, notice how many times it mentions in the sixth month. Well, the sixth month of what? It was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Mary went to find Elizabeth and spend time with her. And apparently it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Mary herself first, that's when the baby, the Lord Jesus, was conceived in her womb as well. It appears, based on what the scripture says, that Mary stayed with her probably until John the Baptist was born. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Again, details that either an expecting mom might be aware of or a doctor. And of course, Luke was a doctor, and so he points out these interesting things. He does say earlier in the scriptures that specifically Elizabeth was barren. In other words, it was not Zacharias, but it was Elizabeth that could not have a child until God miraculously changed her circumstances and her body. So again, all truths that are interesting found in the Word of God. Now, again, we often think of the Christmas story as being a warm and lovely and a story full of peace, joy, and grace, and it is that. Yet the world also had a lot of harsh and difficult realities going on then, like it does today. There were harsh and cruel and perilous things going on in the world at that time. Notice Israel was being occupied by a foreign nation, the Roman government. It was a world where kings sometimes would kill babies, as Herod does. He has all the boys 2 years old and under slaughtered in Bethlehem in an attempt to get rid of this so-called king, as he would refer to it, who was trying to move in on his turf. Well, and so jealousy and disloyalty abounded in that world. And you see some of the same tragic things going on in the world today. Jealousy, hatred, people that don't mind killing babies, and people that kill and murder other people, terrorists, all sorts of tragic things going on in the world. Our world is a world where, sadly, again, it's legal in our society for babies to be killed. And back then, again, Herod was the law, and he decided to have those babies killed then as well. And understand this, there are many times in history in which the devil, through kings and leaders, had babies killed. And that's a tragedy, but that was the world in which they lived in then. And that's a world like the one we live in today. God's Word really is our guidebook for life. And so we need to follow the wisdom of His Word. Now, in looking at the beautiful and grace-filled story of Christmas, I want you to consider a what-if scenario here. In seeking to think of the way the world was then and sort of bringing it together with some insights about life today, I want you just to consider this possible scenario with me. Again, it's a scenario where here's Dr. Johann, quote unquote, a doctor who has Mary in his room, in his examination room. Notice the conversation. The words of Dr. Johann. Young Miss Mary, you're just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep this baby. You're not married. You don't know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant. And you're just a child yourself. Child, you need to listen to the wisdom of a wise doctor. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you, and you will be a single mother, and you will be a poor single mother all your life. No one will want you. You will end up alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You mustn't keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor. We know all about these things. Be reasonable, Mary. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response, goodbye, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Mary, remember my words. You and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever remember your names. Well, a few days later, Dr. Johann, once again in his office with an elderly woman, and he's looking at her very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself, but let me be straight with you. You really shouldn't keep this baby. With your being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something terribly wrong with this baby. A woman your age could not hardly have a healthy child. The child will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child could both die during childbirth. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby, and just get rid of the baby. If the child does survive, he probably will have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything, and he'll probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a physician, I'm a doctor, we know about these things. Don't you think that you should do away with the baby? Elizabeth's response, goodbye, doctor, I'm keeping my baby. Suit yourself, old woman, but know this, that you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know about these kinds of things. Mark my words. Well, just a reminder that it's always good to follow Jesus, to follow his word, to follow his wisdom. Because remember this, God's plan, God's will is the best thing for everybody. That's why we all need to read the word of God, obey the word of God, and follow the word of God. Because God's word leads to life, it leads to blessing, it leads to grace, it leads to freedom, and it leads to helping us, it leads us in fulfilling the call of God and the purpose of God in our lives. Lord, thank you for the wonderful story of Christmas. Thank you for the many truths you teach us through two very special pregnant women who did what they were called to do and bore the children you called them to bear and thus fulfilled the call of God upon their lives and blessed the world in their obedience. Lord, help us to recognize that as we hear your word and obey it, that we will not only be blessed ourselves, but we become a blessing to the world, that we see your purposes come to pass in our lives as we hear and obey your word and your spirit. And Lord, help us to be mindful that we are here for you. We're here to carry out your will and your call. We're here to honor you and to glorify you through the words we speak, the lives we live, the things we do. Help us to know, Lord, that our whole purpose in this life is not to fulfill our dreams, but to fulfill your dreams, to fulfill your call, and to do what you have called us to do. What a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be involved in the eternal work that you've called us to. Thank you again, Father, for the many truths and insights found in the wonderful Christmas story. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we talk today about Christmas joy, we'll be right back.
Some people consider God's command to keep the Sabbath holy as a restriction, but Dr. Tony Evans says we should think of it more as a celebration. He'll help you see the Sabbath in a new light as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This word rest is a big word in the Bible, going all the way to the beginning of Scripture. 6 days God created, and on the seventh day he rested. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't nap. That's not what rest meant. It meant he chilled. He chilled. He sat back to enjoy his creation. So important was the rest that God told Israel to honor the Sabbath day, the day of rest. For 6 days, he says, you shall work, try to make money, try to make an income, try to make a life. He says, but on the seventh day, you chill. You rest. You rest. I prohibit you from trying to do that, make that extra dollar, make that extra buck, put that extra effort in, because I want you to see what I can do with the labor that's already been done, which is what I did when I created. In other words, why should you stay up if I'm staying up? Don't need both of us losing sleep. The Bible says the Lord giveth to his beloved while they sleep. That he's still working on snuff when you're snoring. He says you rest. Rest meant to put it in the hands of God, to leave it. Hebrews 4 says there is a rest for the people of God. There is rest. He wants you to rest.
Discover ways we can help each other stay strong as we make our way down the road of life. Check with us for details on Dr. Evans' series, Comforting the Afflicted, when you visit us online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The music of Larnell Harris, the song King Jesus is His Name. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We've been looking once again at some of the many messages in the Christmas stories, and today we're looking at the topic of Christmas joy. And remember this, again, if you want to stir up your joy and increase your joy, spend extra time reading and meditating on the powerful stories that make up the Christmas narratives. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And really make it a goal. Husbands and wives, encourage each other to read them. Parents, encourage and guide and help your children to read through them. Grandparents, help your grandchildren read through them as well. Friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage each other to read them. Encourage your nephews and your nieces to read them as well. Your co-workers. Why? Because it will bless them tremendously to read them. Remember, amongst other things, God's word is joy. And the more you fill your mind and your heart with the word of God, the more your joy will increase. So take the time to do that. Part of what we've been looking at is the role of godly men and women in the Christmas story as well. And, you know, looking once again at the life of Joseph, you find that Joseph is a godly man who initially it appeared to him that his wife had been unfaithful, and he'd made plans to divorce his wife quietly, not in a public showy way, but he wanted to do it quietly. But then God stepped into his dream and let him know that Mary hadn't been unfaithful, that she was carrying the Messiah, and he was to be the earthly dad of the Messiah as well. And so Joseph gladly married Mary and became the father of the earthly dad of the Messiah as well. And so Joseph was a godly leader. He guided his family as he listened to God, and the way he guided his family, he listened to God in the way he protected his family. That's a part of being a real man. We live in a world where there's a great need for men to step up to the plate to learn what it means to be a really godly man. Being a man, a real man, is much more than just being able to father a baby. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the other males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that line up with the Word of God and that are honorable. Real men also They're individuals who understand that women are gifts to be prized and appreciated and are precious. They're to be honored and protected. Men's role is to honor and protect women, not to abuse them or misuse them. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women. Real men don't take advantage of women. He respects women, and he'll decide not to be involved with a woman sexually unless he's first won her heart and put a ring on her finger in marriage. A real man, a godly man, has clearly decided to leave the ways of being a boy and the ways of boyhood, and he's decided to take on the attitudes and the actions of real manhood. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions, and his attitude seek to reflect that of a real man. Boys ask questions while men give answers. Boys play a house while real men build homes. Boys shack up while men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for girls and for women. Boys often, they consider a woman an object to be used, while men see women as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while real men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them. Real men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time and is too hard. Men recognize the importance of and the value of education and gaining a skill. They desire to be educated and to gain skill in order to reach their full potential in life. We live in a world that needs many more godly men that carry themselves as just that, the way godly men are to carry themselves. Let's pray that God will raise up more and more men that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they act like it through their words, through their actions, and through their lifestyle as well. Again, the importance of being a godly man. Once again, as before our time comes to an end, as we look at the Word of God as it relates in the Christmas stories, we look at also the wonders of motherhood as well. Luke chapter 1 draws it out powerfully. And notice several times, a number of times, it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Again, the wonders of motherhood are drawn out beautifully and powerfully in the Christmas stories. I want to share with you a touching and a kind of a humorous little story, but it's called The Christmas Pageant, shared by a young mom. And let me just simply, I'm going to read it as the mom shared the story. She simply called it The Christmas Pageant. She said, my husband and I had been happily married most of the time for 5 years, but hadn't been blessed with a baby. I decided to do some serious praying and promised God that if he would give us a child, I would be a perfect mother, love the child with all my heart, and raise the child with his word as my guide. God answered my prayers and blessed us with a son. The next year, God blessed us with another son. The following year, he blessed us with yet another son. The year after that, we were blessed with a daughter. My husband thought we'd been blessed right into poverty. We now had 4 children, and the oldest was only 4 years old. I learned never to ask God for anything unless I meant it. As a priest once told me, if you pray for rain, make sure you carry an umbrella. I began reading a few verses of the Bible to the children each day as they lay in their cribs. I was off to a good start. God had entrusted me with 4 children, and I didn't want to disappoint him. I tried to be patient the day the children mashed 2 dozen eggs on the kitchen floor searching for baby chicks. I tried to be understanding when they started a hotel for homeless frogs in the spare bedroom, although it took me nearly 2 hours to catch all the 23 frogs. When my daughter poured ketchup all over herself and rolled up in a blanket to see how it felt to be a hot dog, I tried to see the humor rather than the mess. In spite of changing over 25,000 diapers, never eating a hot meal, and never sleeping for more than 30 minutes at a time, I still thank God daily for my children. While I couldn't keep my promise to be a perfect mother, I didn't even come close. I did keep my promise to raise them in the Word of God. I knew I was missing the mark just a little when I told my daughter we were going to church to worship God, and she wanted to bring a bar of soap along to wash up Jesus too. Something was lost in the translation when I explained that God gave us everlasting life, and my son thought it was generous of God to give us his last wife. My proudest moment came during the children's Christmas pageant. My daughter was playing Mary. Two of my sons were shepherds, and my youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. My five-year-old shepherd had practiced his line. We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But he was nervous and said the baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes. My four-year-old Mary said, "That's not wrinkled clothes, silly. That's dirty, rotten clothes." A wrestling match broke out between Mary and the shepherd and was stopped by an angel who bent her halo and lost her left wing. I slouched a little lower in my seat when Mary dropped the doll representing baby Jesus, and it bounced down the aisle crying, "Mama, Mama." Mary grabbed the doll, wrapped it back up, and held it tightly as the wise men arrived. My other son stepped forward wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger, and announced, "We are the three wise men. We are bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got a standing ovation. I never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one, laughed the pastor, wiping tears from his eyes. For the rest of my life, I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur. "My children are my pride and my joy and my greatest blessing," I said as I dug through my purse for an aspirin. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. We should feel honored to serve such a leader who loves us, and we should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength today and every day. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the many blessings of your word, and thank you for the chance for us to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Help us to know, Lord, that as we follow you and serve you, we'll experience your joy, your peace, your grace, and your strength as we simply read and meditate on your word, as we obey your word, and as we follow your wonderful Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And the final reading I want to share, one I've shared before, but a touching one. It's simply entitled, and I've shared it before, but as I said, a touching story, and simply entitled Teddy Stallard. There's a story many years ago of an elementary teacher. Her name was Mrs. Thompson. As she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school, she told the children something that wasn't true. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and said she loved all of them the same, but that was not quite true. Mrs. Thompson had watched young Teddy the year before and noticed that he didn't play well with the other children, that his clothes were messy and he constantly needed a bath. Teddy could be pretty unpleasant. It got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, making bold X's and then putting a big fat F at the top of his papers. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records, and she put Teddy's off until last. However, when she reviewed his file, she was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade wrote, "Teddy is bright. He is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He's a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he's troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home is hard." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on Teddy. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest. His home life is tough." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends and sometimes sleeps in class." By now, Mrs. Thompson realized his problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She even felt worse when her students brought her Christmas presents one day wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in the heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson took pains to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. She stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how pretty the bracelet was, putting it on and dabbing some of the perfume on her wrist. After school, Teddy Stallard stayed behind after school and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and I'm glad you liked her bracelet as well." After school, she got down on her knees and cried for at least an hour, And on that day, she went to God in prayer and said, "Lord, I'm recommitting my heart to you, and I'm going to love all of my children, especially the slow ones." She began to work with all of her students, especially with Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in the class. Well, Teddy finished that school year and did well. A few years later, he sent a letter to Miss Tallard, to Miss Thompson. Said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I'll be graduating second in my class. How about that?" Then a few years later went by. "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to know I'll be graduating first in my class at the university. School has been hard, but I liked it." Then a few years later came another note that said, "Dear Mrs. Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, M.D. How about that?" Well, the story doesn't end there. A few years later, Teddy wrote and said, "I'll be getting married soon. Miss Thompson, would you come to my wedding? Dad died now. I have no more family. Would you come and sit where my mother would have sat?" And of course, Miss Thompson came and sat where his mother would have sat. And she was glad to do it because she had been, by the grace of God, someone who had become a blessing to Teddy by truly loving him and giving the best she had to be a blessing to a little boy in her class. A touching story and a powerful story and a reminder that we can be a blessing to people when we give of ourselves, when we love people, when we encourage people, when we seek to be the blessing God has put us in the world to be. You know, it's not hard to love people if we choose to be a vessel God can pour his love through. May that be the goal for each of us, to be a vessel of joy, a vessel of love, and a vessel of grace. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give to each of us to be a blessing in this world. Lord, you are the greatest gift the world ever received when you came into this world as our Lord and Savior. Help us to know, Lord, that once we've come to know you as our Lord and Savior, we in turn can be a vessel of your love, a vessel of your joy, a vessel of your peace, as we simply walk in this world as a person full of the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. Help us to live every day to be a giver. Help us to live every day to be one who is carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others who don't know you as Lord and Savior can be saved. And help us to live to be a discipler, one who's discipling others and helping them to come to learn to walk with you each and every day. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me remind you once again, if you haven't taken the time to read through all the Christmas narratives, hope you'll be sure and take the time to do it. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. It'll bless you greatly. Hope you'll take the time to do that. And also, again, this Christmas season, when you give away gifts, put gospel tracts in the gifts. It'll bless and encourage them as well. Hope you'll take time to do that. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.